Welcome to the fifth episode of the QIC AG podcast. I'm your host, April Dinwiddie, communications consultant for the QIC AG. With the six key messages as a guide, this podcast will highlight the practical tools, materials, and content created by the QIC AG and offer a deeper understanding of how it all can be useful for members of the child welfare community, as well as allied professionals and parents. Today, we welcome QIC AG site consultant, Don Danita Fleury Simmons, to have a conversation about the importance of understanding that not all families will have a service need and managing expectations related to offering services to family. Welcome to the podcast, Don Danita.
Hi, April. I'm glad to be with you. Please call me Dee.
Oh, perfect, Dee. I'm so glad we're able to spend some time together talking about this topic and help dispel the myth that if you communicate with families and invite them in for services, that every family will engage and overburden the system. I'd like to start right there with your thoughts related to this basic idea.
Yes, April, thank you. I'm glad that we're talking about this too, because it's really important that we don't dismiss the realities of what this kind of thought process can mean to the work. The years of progress made to move children from foster care to permanent or adoptive guardianship homes means that now there are more children in post-permanency families than there are in foster care placements. Sometimes thinking about this volume, providers can be reluctant to offer services to what they might think could be a flood of families. And with this in mind, it's important that we have a realistic sense, based on research and data, of how many families have unmet service needs.
So with that in mind, let's explore a bit more here, and perhaps you can offer some perspective based on the work of the QIC AG.
Sure. First, research tells us that, relatively speaking, only a moderate proportion of adoptive and guardianship families will need to seek services and supports from the child welfare system. Results from a survey in Illinois with adoptive and guardianship parents found that 85% of these families said that they were doing well with the supports and services that they currently had in place, and they did not need additional supports or services.
That's really helpful, Dee. Tell us some more about some other sites.
Sure. Well, in Tennessee, one of the QIC AG sites, we found that post-adoption services are available to all adoptive families in the state who are receiving a subsidy. With active marketing between July 1st, 2016 and June 30th, 2017, of the approximately 5,500 adoptive families eligible for services, only 353, or 6%, expressed a need for and utilized services. Overall, April, data from several QIC AG sites, including New Jersey, which I can share more about later, further supports that offering services to adoptive and guardianship families will not lead to an overwhelming demand.
Well, this is helpful perspective, Dee, and absolutely, we'd love to hear more about the experiences in New Jersey.
We implemented a program called Tuning Into Teens, or TINT. It's a group-based program designed for parents of youth 10 to 18 years of age. The program was developed by the Mindful Center for Training and Research in Developmental Health at the University of Melbourne in Australia. It equips parents with strategies for responding empathetically to their adolescents' emotions and helps them to help their teens to develop the skills to self-regulate and identify their own emotions.
Well, this sounds like an amazing program, and while we don't have time to talk in more detail about that, I'd love to hear more about the numbers.
Sure. We contacted 442 families successfully. From these, only 178 families registered for the intervention, with 111 participating in at least one of seven TINT sessions, and 62, or 14%, of those receiving outreach attending four or more. The point here is that even though a lot of families are eligible and were contacted and offered the services directly, only a small percentage expressed an interest and even fewer participated. Again, not every family has an unmet need. So if you offer a service, no matter how great it is, not everyone will need or want it. I just want to share a little example with you. So just because you have health insurance doesn't mean that you go to the doctor unless there's a need. A lot of us won't even go with the first sign of a need. But knowing that we have that available to us makes it easier for us to go when we do identify that there's a need.
Dee, that is such an important example and a way for us to think about this. I'd love for you to tell me a little bit more about the work in New Jersey and what you learned when looking at this part specifically of the work.
Sure, April. With more attention being paid to post-adoption services and supports, it's important that we use realistic data to plan for families and think clearly and practically about the fact that not everyone that is offered services will engage. The more we look at this aspect of the work and share what we know, the better we will be in terms of having a baseline for information for planning.
Well, Dee, this breakdown makes so much sense. Thank you. So in essence, your system was not overwhelmed and you were able to deliver a quality service to help families that did have a need. Understanding this has broad value. Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the challenges that come with being concerned that every family will want or need services.
Exactly, April. Offering TENT to families did not overwhelm us, and we were able to accommodate all of the families that wish to participate. As for your question about challenges, that comes with being concerned that every family will have an unmet service need. And if we as professionals feel that the system will be overwhelmed by an unrealistic level of consumption from families, then we might not be proactively communicating with them and offering them services and supports. This is highly problematic. And ultimately, it might keep families from feeling comfortable reaching out to us because they're not encouraged through a proactive process that's open. They're not receiving informed conversations. Ultimately, April, operating under this false assumption can impact our behavior. And we may not offer services because we think the system can't afford to support those in need. Having good information can help us make really good decisions as we work with families.
Well, that's such an important point, Dee, again. And so we understand the challenges overall. What are some of the direct benefits when professionals don't let this hold them back?
Well, I think the benefits are pretty obvious. When there's a subset of family that needs services, they will know that they exist and that they have access to them, which is exactly what we want. We really must remember that many families won't need help, but they will appreciate the connection and being assured that if they need help, we're there for them.
Dee, that makes so much sense here. And I appreciate you for giving us these concrete examples to help us better understand this idea. What are some final thoughts you might have here?
Well, April, I'm just glad we're able to have this conversation and reinforce the fact that creating post-permanency supports and services for families should be based on realistic numbers versus assumptions of possible usage. We don't want to hold families back from receiving a service that they need.
Oh, Dee, that makes so much sense and really the perfect way to close out this podcast with you. Thank you again for your insights, for your valuable perspectives. We really appreciate you, Dee. Thank you.
Thanks. I enjoy doing it.
As we think about how best to serve today's families, it's essential that we keep things in perspective and remember not every family will have an unmet service need. With this in mind, professionals need to work to counter concerns that proactively discussing the need for and offering services to adoptive and guardianship families will lead to an overwhelming demand, and to set realistic expectations as they plan. In doing this, you will be making sure that families that need the services get them, and those that don't will also feel that light touch and assurance that you are there for them if they need you. The QICAG is funded through the Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families Children's Bureau, grant number 90CO1122-01-00. The contents of this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the funders, nor does mention of trade names, commercial products, or organizations imply endorsement by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. This information is in the public domain.